I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
So, you know, John, back in the day, when we were doing, or I was doing, I guess, Upsignal, and we were doing Functional Nerds, and I was also doing I Should Be Writing, and had a lot of different things going on, and we were recording during the week, and we were just having to keep up on, like, everything we were doing. I can't remember if you created it or I created it, but there was a Functional Nerds calendar, and that was shared. And on this calendar, you know, you would put, like, who our guest was going to be and what time and all this. So, we were very organized in that way. And then now that, like, we haven't used that in a really long time, but I still have it shared and, like, subscribed to on my computer and on my phone. And over the past few months, I wasn't even really paying that much attention, but I would go to my calendar to look and see, you know, what have I got going? And I would see, like, there's a concert coming up. And I'm like, a concert? Where the hell did this come from? And I would look at it and I'm going, huh, this is weird. And in my head, I'm thinking, I must have gotten an email with one of those, like, you know, connect this to your calendar kind of thing. And maybe my phone is just trying to be smarter than I am and adding these things to my, because I do have, like, subscriptions to ticket, like AXS tickets and stuff like that, just to know what's going on in Denver. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really paying that much attention to these things, but I kept getting them. And I would look at my calendar and I would randomly have, you know, a concert at this theater. I'm going, man, I don't even know that theater. I wonder where that is. I'm not really, really cognizant of these events on my calendar and where they're coming from. And then it's just like this last week, I'm like, I got to figure this shit out. Where are these things coming from? And I'm trying to dig through and I can't remember. And finally I figure out that it's the Functional Nerds calendar. And I'm going, maybe it's attached to our Gmail account. So then I go in and I'm looking at the Gmail account and it's not. And I'm going, I'm struggling to, like, remember where we created this calendar and where it came from and what's going on. And so I finally sent you an email last night.
Which made me laugh and laugh and laugh.
And the mystery was solved because...
Well, because it's... Yeah, it was... So I... To explain what's happening, I use an app called Bands in Town, which I believe at some point I must have done as a pick of the week. So what Bands in Town does, it's a great app, but if you haven't used it, and if it's the first time you're hearing about it, I highly recommend it. Once again, it's just called Bands in Town, all one word. And what it does, it will scour your music listening apps, whichever ones you use. So Spotify, Google Play Music, Apple Music, I think even YouTube, if you listen to music on YouTube, it might scrape that. So whatever sort of digital service that you use to listen to music, what it does is it scans your artists that you've listened to. And then I guess, I don't know if the artists have to go in and do it or if they go to, like, an artist website and just then scour their tour dates. And what it does is you will get a little ping. You could sort of set it for notifications or you could just sort of scroll through. But every artist that you've listened to, you then, for yourself, you'll set a radius. So I think I have mine set to like a 50-mile radius of where I live. And anytime any band or artist that I have listened to, anytime they are going to be playing a concert that is within a 50-mile radius of our list, I get a ping. It says, like, ping, Dream Theater is going to be playing in New York on blah, 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 blah. And what you can do then you tie your calendar into it and you can hit, kind of like on Facebook when they, like, you have events on Facebook that you could say you're interested in or you're going to. So I will just put, like, oh, I'm interested in that one. So you had meant the one that you screenshotted to me was Sons of Apollo, which is one of Mike Portnoy's, the drummer from Dream Theater, one of his million bands that I'm interested in going to see. I think it's next Friday. I probably won't go see it because it's in New York and that's a pain to get to, but I'm interested in going to see it. it will then add it to your calendar. At some point, it must have started adding it to the Functional Nerds calendar. Maybe it's always been the Functional Nerds calendar. So I probably just need to go in and like delete, because I don't use the Functional Nerds calendar anymore, on purpose at least anyway. So maybe I just need to delete that calendar, and hopefully
I think I'm going to delete it too. Yeah. We don't really use it anymore. We do everything in email.
Yeah. I don't know if, you know, it's funny. I think it's probably hooked into my normal, like regular general calendar and the Functional Nerds, because I noticed I do get double up sometimes. So that's probably what happened. Maybe when I switched, you said it's only been a couple of months that you've been seeing it, or longer than that?
It's been a little bit longer, but it's kind of built in my brain over time that this is something that's not quite right. Uh-huh. But I haven't had the mental bandwidth to care.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. And it's not
until this last week.
And it's not like you're getting notifications on your phone. It's just when you look at, because that'd be really annoying.
Because I don't think it's set to do alerts. Mm-hmm. So like I'm not getting like my normal calendar stuff, I have alerts on. So, mm-hmm. I will get something that pops up and says, you know, it's time to pay this bill, or it's time to do this or that. But I don't get alerts from those, but it was just kind of funny, because when I did get an alert from one of my events, or I also use my calendar just as reminders, right? Mm-hmm. When I go into my calendar, I would see my thing and then this other thing for a concert. And I kept thinking that I had signed up for something somewhere, because I have in the past, you know, signed up for various Ticketmaster kind of things.
Sure.
Just to see what's going on in town. I thought that one of those had started pushing things to my calendar.
Right. Nope, it's this.
And it wasn't hurting anything.
Well,
so I just kind of let it go.
Yeah, and I will like tap that interested button, and I probably go see one out of every 20 things that I see that I tap, because I'm just like, well, I never know. But a lot of times, what I wish I can do, and this is a feature that it doesn't have, or at least I don't think it has, you set a radius. But unfortunately, where I live, New York is in that radius, and it's very there. I get a lot of things for New York shows, because there's a million venues in New York, a lot of like jazz clubs and things like that. And there are a couple of artists that I will brave the city to go see, but there's so much music that it's like, I'm not going to see this band on a Tuesday night in the city. Like, it's not going to happen. So I wish I could sort of like, but if they were playing, I go to this theater quite a bit called the Newton Theater, which is, I don't know, it's probably 30 or 40 miles west of me. So it's the same distance as if I was going into New York, but there's a hell of a difference between driving west, not paying any tolls, not paying any parking, knowing that the show is going to start at 8 and be done at 10:30 and I can be home at a reasonable time, versus going into the city where I either have to take the train, which is $16 each way or whatever. So it's like, it costs, the train is going to run you 30 or 40 bucks going in. Or if I drove in, the George Washington Bridge is like, I don't even know what that's up to now. That's like a $20 toll at this point. It's crazy. So it's like, it's either like $30 for the train or $30 for tolls. And if you drive in, then put another $30 or $40 for parking. So it's like, yeah, I'm not going in on a two. There's a couple of acts that I would do it for, but it's very rare. So I wish I could set it. It's like, look, do 50 miles, but don't give me any of the New York shows, because like, I'm not going to go see them. But anyway, I do sort of tap interested on a lot of them, because I'm like, what can it hurt? You never know. Sure. It's going to come up, and it's like, maybe it's just that night. I'm 2 days away and I'm like, damn, I'm going, I'm just going to, and I have done that before. I've gone, but I tell you what, it is a great app, because like you said, you can sign up for, you said Access, it's like AXS is the, I've seen that before too. And there are different things where you can have venues, and I'm on a million venues mailing list. And I want to be, you know, that to me is not spam, because it's like, chances are that's a relevant ad for me. Like, because half of them are going to be emails that I'm not going to care about, but, sure, but the other half, there is going to be an artist. But I really like that it scans what you're listening to. And then, will pop things up for you. And I've gone to some shows and found out some cool stuff that I would have never known that they were playing. Because a lot of times the various artists that I like, a lot of times they'll be playing these theaters, like I mentioned, but sometimes they're playing like little clubs on a Wednesday night, like in a weird, and sometimes these clubs like open up out of nowhere. You're not even aware that they exist. And it's like, man, they're playing there. Oh, cool. You know, so I recommend it just because you may find a cool venue that you never even knew about before because someone that you like is playing there. You know, I know you like that band Rival Sons. They're playing tomorrow night by me, but it's Mother's Day. So I'm not going on Mother's Day. And they're trying to like build that. It's like, yeah, honey, you don't like this band, but I'm going to go out and see this band. Happy Mother's Day. But yeah, they're playing at this place called the, I think it's called the White Eagle Hall, which is in Jersey City. Which if it was a different time of year, I would maybe go out and see them, but it's like Mother's Day and a Sunday night and all that. But if it was like a Friday night or a Saturday night, I would be like, yeah, Rival Sons, let's go see them. You know, let's go check. And I never even heard of that venue before. I think it's a venue that's only been open for like 6 months or a year or something like that. So anyway, so sorry about all that spam.
Hey, it's better than like, you know, if it had been your doctor's appointment calendar.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, and I'm getting like reminder for colonoscopy.
Oh yeah, I know.
It's like, that's, what?
Yeah.
Shit.
And I literally. Nice. You know, I mentioned it in our most recent episode about the, you know, speaking of music services, that I'm using that last.fm service again. And what I think is really hilarious, you were talking about when you were doing SF Signal and when you were doing the ATFMB podcast. And at the time, that last.fm thing was a feature when I did the Sci-Fi Songs podcast, because that was one of the things that I did was I kept track of what I was listening to, and I was really clever, and I was like, here's my top five last.fm artists of the week. And it's funny because I had a Skype student that I taught for a long time, and he may be listening to this now, and he had mentioned that to me 6 months or a year ago. That he's like, oh yeah, I remember I heard about that band because, you know, when you had your Sci-Fi Songs podcast, you used to give your top five last.fm artists. And I'm like, I'd love to go back and listen to one of those episodes because I'm sure I took myself like really serious. And I probably did.
I feel like it's
voice, you know.
I feel like it's the comments, you know, never read the comments, John. Never go back.
I think that's a good advice. Yeah,
I actually, for the anniversary of SF Signal, I went back and listened to the very first ever episode of the SF Signal podcast.
Mm.
Yeah.
My friend who I'm actually going to go out to dinner with tonight, he's a big Star Wars guy, but he's not like super into genre or whatever. And he's aware that I do a podcast, but I don't know if he'd ever listened to it before. And the last time I met up with him, about a month or two ago, he's like, yeah, I listened to your podcast the other day. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, it was the Timothy Zahn episode. I'm like, that was like 3 years ago or so. I don't know. That was a while ago though. We had him on once, but it was a while. It was like the 25th anniversary of,
Yeah.
You know, and that was pre new canon. So that had to be like 4 or 5 years ago. How long has canon been going on? 2000. Yeah. At least like 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm like, wow, I have no idea. I think I just was like, I think I did sort of, you know, the Chris Farley thing with Timothy Zahn, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'd want to listen to that episode at this point. That would probably be pretty embarrassing.
Speaking of podcasts, I don't know if you were aware that I did a couple of other podcasts here recently.
I saw you posting a little bit about how, and I know you told me you were doing some Beyond the Trope, and I know you were doing some other stuff too, I think, right?
Yeah, I did 3 episodes of Beyond the Trope, I believe, with them. And recorded with Giles and Michelle because Emmer was out, and got to sit in on their interview with Susan Spann.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. She's a mystery author moving to Japan, and she writes a mystery series set in the past with a ninja and a Jesuit, I think it's a Jesuit priest, living in Japan.
Interesting.
And they solve mysteries together, which is kind of cool. And then got to talk to Gail Carriger.
Nice.
Our favorite.
Yeah.
And we told a little bit about how she was instrumental in Beyond the Trope folks and me, you know, coming together and meeting for the first time. And so she's responsible for everything that's happened since. And that was fun. And then, you know, did a third episode with them without a guest where it's just, you know, us kind of talking. And then I also did two episodes of The Three Horsemen for their anniversary. They are now up to episodes 49 and 50.
Nice.
And it was myself and Paul Weimer sitting in for John Stevens, who couldn't be there, and talking with Jeff and Fred.
Cool.
And that was kind of fun. You know, that was like a flashback to the SF Signal days.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a fun stuff. Yeah, I like I said, I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to go back and listen to that stuff now. But it is just because I'm sure. Maybe I'm still am, but I'm like, oh, I know I used to like over promote things and just really wanted to take myself very seriously, wanted to be taken very seriously. And I mean, you know what though? I would say this, you would hope that you go back and look at things that you've done, whether it's a podcast or whatever kind of artistic thing you may be doing, a book you wrote, a song you wrote, whatever. And you'd hope you would be like, yeah, this was a person from 10 years ago. This isn't who I am now. Like, maybe you can appreciate it. Maybe you can appreciate for what it is. But you'd hope that you would listen to be like, yeah, I think I'm a different person now. Hopefully a better person now. Like, or, you know, have a little more craft under my belt or what have you. But I, hopefully you feel that way. Hopefully you don't feel like, man, I was good. Yeah, that wasn't good.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm still very proud of everything I did.
Oh, I'm not saying you can't be proud of it, but hopefully you'll have noticed some growth in where you're at, you know.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But it was I have been thinking about that that last.fm thing because like I said, when I used it, it's funny because it doesn't seem like that long ago, but it's like, yeah, it's 10 years ago. This was like the old iPod. Like the not the kind that can go online, like the click wheel ones, you know?
Yeah.
And I think about what I used to do, like how inconvenient it all was. I had my iPod, I had all my smart playlists. You know, there wasn't that much space on the iPod. So if you wanted to listen to different stuff, you had to have it delete some things and put new stuff on. And that's where I got into using all the smart playlists. So I didn't have to think about it too much, but I have to like plug in the iPod to the computer. And what last.fm does, it does a thing called scrobbling. That's what they call like the keeping track of your plays. And it was like this other piece of software that like hooked into iTunes. And when you like synced up your iPod to your computer, then it would go into iTunes and it would scrobble from iTunes and then go to this website. And it worked for a long time. And then eventually it just got all wonky and weird and it just got to be way too much work. And I'm just like, this is stupid. And I thought about using it again over the years and I just never got around to it. And for whatever reason, like last week, I was just like, you know what? I really want to see how that goes. And I tried to create a new account, but I created it with my email. And they're like, someone's already uses that email. And I'm like, that someone is me. So I had to like reset my password. And oh, you know what's really funny? You know what my username on it is? It's John Snow 1. Because in the, I think
you used to use that a lot.
That was what I was used before when I was just sort of coming into this world, because this is pre the Game of Thrones TV show. So I thought I was being all, you know, artsy and different. There's probably a million, you know, it's kind of funny. I bet you there's like Jon Snows into the hundreds now, but, yeah, so I believe my username on last.fm is Jon Snow 1, which cracked me up.
On our hosting for our audio files, that's and on your account.
Yes, which I believe that's Jon Snow as well.
That is also Jon Snow. So every time I go in there and upload our stuff, it says Jon Snow, Jon Snow, Jon Snow.
Yes. I don't know if at one point I thought of using that as like a stage name before I like just decided to use my middle name. I think I considered it because again, this is before the TV show. So I thought like, that's cool. That's fine. And you know, I fortunately decided not to do that. That would have been a big mistake, but that would have been a, what do you call it? The SEO for your website. That would have been a horrible error on my part if I went ahead and did that.
That's funny.
Yeah, but anyway, it's fun using that website. But yeah, my last scrabbles were from 2009. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Okay, there you go. So yeah, it's fun using it and to keep track of the stuff. And it works really easily now because you're constantly hooked up online. And all I had to do was just, you know, sign into my account. And I just like downloaded the last.fm app for my phone. And it just clicked a box for Google Play. And it just does it seamlessly now. And you don't have to think about it, which is what these things are for. If you have to put too much effort into them, then it's no fun because all you're getting out of it is stats. It's not really doing anything for you. But I like those stats. I like kind of seeing, oh yeah, I listen to that artist more than I realize. Because I do a lot of kind of shuffling through various playlists and genres that have, you know, hundreds of artists in them. So sometimes you're like, oh, you know, I listened to that artist three times. I didn't even realize that. Like, let me go check out one of their albums. It just, you know, I don't know. I enjoy using it. So it's something that people might want to check out.
It's kind of funny. My brother really likes to, like, when I take him to the store or give him a ride somewhere, because I listen to Spotify so much. And I'll do, you know, artist lists or lists based on a song that I like, something like that. And then we get all this new music.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh man, you know, where'd this song come from? Who's this? And he's loving all this stuff because he just listens to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I never hear these songs in the radio. And I said, yeah, I know, because, you know, the radio, they're only going to play the same 10 songs
right
over and over again. And he's like, well, how do I get this? And I said, well, we just have to set you up an account on Spotify on your phone. And I said, we just need to get you an email address. Well, that killed it right there. He hates computers so much.
Yeah.
And he didn't want an email address. And I'm like, well, dude, it's really simple. We can just set you up with an email address to get you on Spotify. You never have to check the email address. No, I don't want that. I don't want any of that. So then you may remember about a month ago, or back in April, actually, he went to Arkansas.
Okay.
And visited his dad's side of the family and his dad there. And everybody there was like, oh, are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook? No, I hate Facebook. I hate computers. I don't want anything to do with any of that. So he gets back, and about a week and a half ago, our aunt sent him a little tablet computer so he could get on Facebook. He's now hates social media.
Oh, yeah.
He went ahead and got, you know, we set him up with a Gmail email address and got him on Facebook. And he hates it. He hates it. He hates that people, like, it when he goes on Facebook and he's doing something on there and people can message him, he hates all of that. And so this tablet computer that he's had for about a week and a half, I went to turn it on to help him with something, and it hadn't even been charged.
I thought that story was going in a different direction. I thought you were going to say, like, he's addicted to Facebook now.
Oh,
he's
no. Not.
That's okay.
No,
I admire that, though. I admire that he did not get seduced by the technology, and he's just like, this is dumb. I kind of like that. I kind of like that reaction.
Oh, yeah. It's completely different, you know, from most people. Even my mom, when she first got on Facebook, loved that she could talk to the cousins back in Kentucky and in Chicago and different places, you know, and she would do that all the time. And even now, you know, she's got a little tablet and we'll go through. She can't really write messages anymore to people, but I'll write them or we'll just, you know, go through and like pictures and look at stuff. But my brother just hates it. Absolutely hates it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel like going on a jag about this, but I have noticed it lately because I for myself, I feel like I have a pretty good handle on it now in terms of it being a distraction or not. Like I feel like for the most part, I'm very intentional about when I use social media or even when I use my phone or my computer for other things, even just for emailing or whatever. I feel like I keep up with it, but I'm very intentional about when I use it. And even though I probably go on Facebook maybe or in Twitter maybe once a day and I do it on my computer, even when I do that, there will be a moment where I'm like, all right, I've now been doing this for 10 minutes. What value am I getting out of this? I could be doing something else. All I'm doing is sort of scrolling through the same thing right now. Let me move on. And yeah, again, not to go on a jag on it, but I really, you know, I was with my son and we went to we go for a walk, and there's this park by where we live now. We went to the park and we went on the playground, and there were a lot.
Saturday?
This was a couple days ago, I think, actually.
Oh, so it wasn't Saturday in the park?
No, it was not Saturday in the park. Nice.
About the 4th of July? I think it was the 4th of July, maybe?
No, no. You know, when you say Saturday, you know, I'm going to tell you that in a minute because I'm going to finish. but there's mostly like little kids in the playground, really little kids. My son's 12. These kids are probably like 5 or 6 or what have you. And, you know, I just saw their moms were kind of on their phone. And I'm not going to be judgmental about it. It's the world we live in now. But it's like, that's kind of sad. It's like, you have your kids here. Like, cause I'm very aware of that. And when I'm with my son, especially if we're out in public, you know, cause I got to keep my eye on my son, you know, cause he'll wander off or something. So I like, it's just even for his safety. But beyond that, it's like, hey man, be in the moment with your kids right now. Like you're here, they're playing, enjoy this time with them. Like you looking at Facebook you can look at Facebook later. There's nothing like, there's a lot of value that you can get out of that, but you're here now. You're doing this now. Do this right now. Don't look at your, so I just, it's just that ever present looking down at your phone, you know. It's like, it's not that important. Anyway, I don't mean to get into a jag about that.
No, it's fine. And there was a I forget who it was, and we may have talked about it before, but there's the thing that people do now where you're out with friends or something and you're sitting around a table, maybe you're out eating or you're having a drink, whatever, and people tend to put their phones on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And a trend for people was to put them face down.
Yes.
As a visual cue that I'm paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not looking at my phone. And this person was talking about that and saying that's not as impactful as you think it is. And the best thing you could do is leave your phone in your pocket.
Right.
Or your purse or your backpack or, you know, whatever you have. You know, don't even put it on the table. And just, you know, have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And meet someone else's eye. And I've noticed, talking about, you know, the modern world and how things are, you sit around a table with people and easily 50%, if not more, like 80% of the people will have their phone out and looking at their phone and doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I've certainly noticed it with some younger people that I spend time with through work and through.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's, that's just their life. That's their culture. That's how they are. And I understand it and I try not to be offended by it, but it's I don't know how you, I don't know a good way to phrase this, but how do you focus on anything when you're constantly distracted? Like, I think it just, it keeps coming up, you know, how this is having a negative impact and how we should really, and I think there are some efforts being made to, whether it's on an individual basis, on how to limit and control our time with these things, because I think it really does, because whether it's in creating something or even just having a conversation with somebody, you know, you get to the good stuff over time. And even just in one conversation, it's, you're talking about stuff and you start with small talk and you start to this and then you get onto that. And then, you know, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes into the conversation, that's when you get to the good stuff. That's when you get to the meaningful stuff. Well, if you're constantly distracted and you're like, oh, let me just answer this text. Or so the thing that's weird is it's not even an excuse, like, oh, excuse me while I answer this text. It's just, you'll be in the middle of something and they'll get a text message and they go and answer it while you're talking and they're not listening to what you're saying. They're right now on their thing. So you're just, it's hard to get to the good stuff if you're constantly being distracted by your texts or your Facebook or what have you.
Have you seen this thing? There was a study and I guess the average attention span now is 8 seconds.
I've seen things like that before. Sure. Like
so that to me is interesting. I'm bad about it.
I think we all are.
I can get very distracted. And I had someone, you know, say they wanted to have coffee with me and kind of catch up. And so I met them for coffee and we're sitting there and I'm talking while they're on their phone texting other people. And they're just texting. And finally I gave up on talking and I just kind of started sitting there and I wasn't saying anything for a while and they were still texting. And so I picked up my phone and started doing something. And then they got pissed at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was on my phone not paying attention to them. And I said, well, hold on. We've been sitting here for 15 minutes and you've been on your phone texting other people the entire time.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like I gave up, you know, because you were involved in a different conversation or a couple of different conversations. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not invested in this conversation anymore. So you can't have a double standard. You can't sit there and be texting other people and completely ignoring me. And then when I give up because you're ignoring me, and start texting someone else or looking at my email or doing something like that, you can't get pissed at me. And they were kind of stunned for a second and then said, you're absolutely right. You know, I wasn't being respectful to you and to what you were saying. I wasn't paying that much attention and I was talking to other people. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not angry with you anymore and I'm going to try to be better. And it's like, okay. And we put our phones down and tried to have a conversation. But you could tell that like they were twitchy and wanted to pick up their phone.
Yeah. All I have to say is thank God this stuff didn't exist when I was single because this would have destroyed my 25-year-old ego.
Being single sucks.
Yeah.
And being single with this kind of stuff is even worse.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine because I would not have. Well, I guess you just deal with what you deal with at the time you deal with them. Yeah. I have a single friend who on Facebook the other day was sort of relaying some story about using Bumble. And I'm like, I don't even know what Bumble is. I guess it's a dating app. I that's what I gathered from the comments. It's like, you know, like a Tinder or whatever. It's, you know, one of those you swipe left or right kind of a deal with. And I'm just like, I'm so glad I don't know what Bumble is. So I'm just like, cause I'm like, that would not. Duh. Oh, you know, it's, I probably picked this as a pick of the week at some point. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to pick that now. I'm not going to mention that. Things have changed since this one book has come out. So I don't know if I want to pick it right now. But anyway, go ahead. You were talking about being single.
Oh, no. I just said it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it really does.
Yeah.
I have used in the past a couple of those apps. I'm not currently using any of them. And I just, it's like I don't have the time. And it's not that I don't have the desire to date and to, you know, be with someone and not be alone, but it's just with everything going on in my life.
Yeah.
That it's difficult. You know, I think you and I have talked about this in the past. I said, if I were married when all this stuff with mom started happening, I think it would have been easier for a wife to accept that, you know, this is what's going on in my life.
Sure.
And that, you know, as partners, we just kind of have to take care of it. But trying to get someone to come into this mess.
Yeah.
Cold is very, very difficult. And I don't blame anyone for not wanting to take on any of this.
Sure. Me. Yeah. It's a different thing. It's like they're willingly signing into that. And that's it seems like just being single in general is tough. Now you're throwing all this other stuff in there. That's difficult. But well, anyway, I didn't mean to get so into your personal life.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
I did want to mention, there was, I don't even remember. Oh, you know what? I do remember how this happened. So there's a movie called A Quiet Place.
That's the John Krasinski movie.
Yeah.
Yes. I've heard of it. Like they have to be quiet the whole time. Like that's
yes.
Okay.
It's him and Emily Blunt.
Who's his wife in real life.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was from The Office.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's kind of where he became kind of famous. And I resisted The Office for a very, very long time, but just recently, you know, burned through all the episodes on Netflix and enjoyed them and got a greater understanding of who exactly John DiNardo is. And one of the jokes very early on in that show, at some point they joke about how he looks like Chuck.
He does. He absolutely does.
Yeah, and how they could be brothers or something. And Chuck is Chuck Bartowski from the television show Chuck.
Right.
Where he was a worker in the nerd herd at a Best Buy-esque store called the Buy More.
Yeah.
Who gets this computer program implanted in his brain that makes him a super spy kind of thing. And then and the show just kind of goes on from there. And it was a good show, and I liked it. And I kind of remembered it. And I decided I wanted to watch it, and it wasn't streaming for free anywhere.
No, it was on Netflix a year or two ago, and it was only on for a little while. It wasn't on there for very long.
So I went and looked on Amazon Prime, and they had the first season, I want to say, for like $15.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that's not that bad. And so I went ahead and bought the first season and went through it. And it's still very funny to me, and I still enjoyed it quite a bit. And I ended up getting the second season as well, and kind of slowly kind of going through those just as a entertainment kind of thing. And I would watch episodes here and there. And then I got an email from Amazon Prime that Chuck is now available all 5 seasons as part of Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So I now I can watch 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
You know, as part of my Amazon Prime membership. But it's a fun show, and it's kind of when we talk about how much things have changed, it's interesting to watch that show and see how much has changed.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think I watched the first 2 seasons. You know, I think I was watching that when I had Netflix DVDs. This is pre-streaming Netflix. I'm one of the people that go back to when Netflix was just a DVD by mail company. And I believe I watched the first 2 seasons that way. And when it came on Netflix about 2 years ago, I'm like, oh, cool. I never watched, you know, the other seasons. 3, was there 5 seasons? Okay.
Yes.
Maybe I made it through 3. Anyway, I think I only made it through 2. I watched the first episode or 2 of season 3, and I didn't stick with it. I was, because like what you said, it's like I still enjoyed the characters, but TV had kind of gone to a different place, and I think I got used to a different rhythm in terms of television shows, and I was not, I won't say it was bad, it just, I was not compelled to keep going with it. Is that kind of your feeling, that it feels a little dated, not so much in the content, but in the kind of delivery and structure?
No, actually for me, it's the content.
Because
it's the technology.
Oh, right.
And so it's very, at the time it was intended to be
spy-fi. Spy-fi. Right? That's what they
spy-fi.
Yeah, that's what they used to call it.
So there was definitely science fictional elements in it and in the technology. And now you look at it, and it's one of those things where the technology just doesn't even hold up to what it should have been then, if that makes sense. It's like I understand what they were doing, but I don't think they were pushing the boundaries enough.
Mm-hmm.
They were still kind of keeping it in the, you know, well, this is a DVD.
Right.
And it's still a DVD. You know, like they didn't go beyond DVDs, and so stuff like that is kind of interesting and dated.
Go and watch it. Yeah, go and watch something from the first couple of seasons of Stargate SG-1, and you'll see like the giant CRT monitors.
Yeah.
Like and it's like, wow, yeah, I guess so. This show was started in the 90s, so yeah. I guess this makes sense. But it's pretty hilarious, you know, that was the, you know, peak bleeding edge technology, these gigantic monitors that took up a whole, like not even the screen, just like the back of it, you know.
Well, even the concept of the Buy More, you know,
yeah.
And they had the huge DVD section, which was true. And they did, that was huge at the time when you went in to buy. I mean, I bought plenty of DVDs at Best Buy, trust me.
Sure.
It's just kind of funny to see that kind of stuff and go, whoa, okay. I'm still enjoying it because I enjoyed the show when it first ran. I was a fan, and I'm still enjoying it. It's not like some of the shows from when I was a kid that I can't watch anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are.
I'm still enjoying that. And one thing I forgot about was that Subway saved the show.
Yes.
And
yes,
so there's a lot of Subway throughout, like season two, season three. I'm sure it's in season four. But where they're eating Subway sandwiches, they're talking about Subway sandwiches, they're promoting Subway sandwiches.
Did Subway do anything with Community? Because there's a lot of Subway jokes on Community somewhere around season three.
Hmm.
I'm not sure about that. There's like, did you ever watch Community?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so but by the time you get midway through, the Subway sort of buys the university, and it's going to be called the Subway University or something like that. So yeah, I don't know if Subway stepped in or if they were just doing it as a joke.
Well, the other thing that was kind of funny to me is I'm noticing product placement throughout Chuck, because it's an electronic store. Like, they had World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
They had posters for World of Warcraft. You see the original game discs and stuff on the shelves, and the expansions. You see things like EverQuest and I'm forgetting what the other one that was on online game and MMO at the time. You see that kind of stuff. And then you see a game console called a V-Box One.
Hmm.
So instead of an Xbox, there was a V-Box.
Nice.
Right? Because they apparently didn't get Microsoft's endorsement or couldn't stuff like that. I'm just sitting there going, okay, that's just weird.
Yeah, totally.
But it's the politics of product placement, I guess, in television shows. But it's in Scott Bakula's in it.
Yes, I remember that.
He played Chuck's dad. Right. And I like him way better in that than I do in like NCIS New Orleans.
Right, right. I liked Scott Bakula. Yeah, but with like the DVD stuff, I tell you, I've been taking the Marvel movies. I've been watching I've been watching the Blu-rays. I've been taking the Blu-rays out of the library. And I don't like physical media, man. Like it's like every time I get into it, it's like, you know, it starts skipping or something. That's if you take something out of the library, that's a problem because other people have used them and God knows what people do with these things when they're in their houses. So that's a problem. Sometimes some of the older Blu-rays don't remember where you left off, which I just thought that's, they do that. So I just find it's more of a hassle to use this stuff than not, but I'll probably at some point, because I have been enjoying going back and watching these movies so much, you know, maybe I'll slowly start buying them. But it is like 18 movies, and to buy these movies, I think they're like $12.99. So it's like, that's a pretty big layout if you want to go and buy all the Marvel movies at this point. So maybe I'll just keep my eyes peeled. Maybe one day.
There's a few of them on Netflix.
I know that. And I watched the ones that are on Netflix. I watched Doctor Strange and I watched Guardians Volume 2. And I've seen Civil War recently. But I went and I got the Blu-rays I watched Captain America First Avenger. I watched Winter Soldier, which is great. I love Winter Soldier. Yeah, that's a great one. I liked First Avenger a lot too, going back on that. And watched Age of Ultron, which held up way better than I thought, because that's the one where everyone's like, yeah, that one's not very good. I guess the point is, in watching all this stuff, and even I watched Iron Man 2, which that's another one that's kind of considered one of the ones, you know. And again, I haven't seen Infinity War yet, but with this whole thing going down, you know, when you view these movies as a whole, they're even in Iron Man 2, that's still fun to watch, because it's like, oh, this is the first appearance of Black Widow, and oh, this is the first appearance of War Machine, and you know, it still is, it adds, if you look at it as like one big huge TV show or something, then even the ones that are considered not as great are still fun, because they still add to the world building and the mythos and all that. So I'm having a really fun time going back and watching them all. So it's pretty cool. And I'll hopefully get out to watch Infinity War soon. So yeah.
And you mentioned something and now I completely lost it. So
that's okay. That's okay.
Whatever it was, it went in one ear and out the other. Well, it didn't stick around in my head, but it was something very important, and it was about the Marvel movies, and it's gone. Oh, I know. Winter Soldier and Civil War, I've always felt that those were two much better Avengers movies than the actual movies titled Avengers.
Yes, I agreed. Agreed. Well, Winter Soldier is a great movie. It's, you know, it's only got Black Widow in it in terms of the other Avengers, but it's great. I mean, that and I saw that one in the movies.
Well, Falcon's in it.
That's right. Yeah, Falcon gets introduced in that one. Yeah. Yes, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about, is that each one of these, and I find Iron Man 2 to be just fine. It was a totally watchable movie. Like, I, you know, when you're comparing them to where you have these great heights like Civil War and Winter Soldier, yeah, maybe they don't all live up to that. But they're all well done and they're all fun. And I don't know. I think my son is expressed interest. So maybe when we finish up with all of our Star Wars stuff, maybe we'll go on to the Marvel stuff and I'll just buy them then. Cause that's the great thing about kids. It's like, you can use them as an excuse to buy something that you want. That's why I recommend it. I'll feel weird about spending $12 for myself, but it's like, well, you know, our son wanted it. So, you know, gotta buy the Avengers movie. Well, anywho, we should probably wrap up because my battery is running low. Cause I don't know why it ate up the battery. I had a full charge when we started today and it usually lasts just fine, but it's, I don't want it to go and then we lose it. So, everybody, if you dig the show, consider becoming one of our backers over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, anything you want to leave our listeners with today?
No, I just suggest you go and search Beyond the Trope podcast and listen to those episodes that I did over there. Search Three Horsemen, listen to those episodes because it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, our listeners, I think, would enjoy both of those podcasts. And if you're not already listening to them, you should be.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, and yeah, just to go back to SF Signal for a second, SF Crossing the Gulf is back.
Ooh.
With Karen Burnham. So search that. I believe that's Locus. I might be Locus, might be someone else, but go check that one out because that's part of the SF Signal family and a great podcast, and they're back.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.